From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
Welcome back to Defrag Tools. So we're up to part six of our How to Write Your Own Debugger Extension series. Last week we talked about registers, turning registers into values, or accessing registers, seeing what the values are, pseudo registers. This week we're kind of going to flip it around.
Yep.
See the reverse.
Go from a value to some type of string, which
all
is
right.
Normally a symbol, right?
Great.
And so this is, you'll do this a lot in your code.
Yeah.
This is, you know, this is what you do. You go, what's my code doing, and stuff like that. So this one's going to be a new command called name by offset, which represents the API name that's come from. A new class, a new CPP file called name.cpp for this purpose. All the code is once again going to be deferred to this utility library that we're slowly building up. Mm-hmm. So in this case, what we're going to do is we're going to get an argument, and we're going to turn that into a number. So we might have, you know, RIP plus 10,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. And then once we have a value that's, you know, that succeeded, we're going to ask our new function called getNameByOffset to turn mm-hmm. that value into a string for us.
A symbol name,
yeah.
And this is kind of really what debuggers do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because if you didn't have symbols and you're just looking at hex numbers, it's like the Matrix. I see a blonde, I see a redhead, or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's much easier if you can say, oh, this value corresponds to this function and offset,
yeah.
That's
what it's all about. And you'll find it, you'll do this a lot.
It's
simple as that, really.
Yeah.
So the function, let's see, we evaluate it, get to a number, and then we've got this big character array on the stack. You know, there's lots of better ways of doing memory allocation than in the stack. You know, you STL it, whatever, with string and stuff, vectors. But for simplicity, just an array, a 2K array. 2K seems to be about the right size for symbols these days. Now that there's lambdas hanging around, these big expressions, you tend to get what used to be a small function, then this massive 1K of lambda in the middle of it. So,
mm-hmm.
like particularly with STL, you get this a lot as well. So because of all templating, but yeah, 2K seems to be about the right size. There is no predefined width of a symbol,
okay.
I think, but as I said, 2K seems to be about right. This name by offset functions in our utility library. The actual function is kind of small. This case, what we're doing is we're just making everything zero as it comes in, just doing some house cleaning on the buffer we've been given. And then in this case, we're going to use the idebug symbols. Last week we used idebug registers to ask the system about registers. This is a symbolic thing. Not surprising, it's a symbol reference. The name is, the function name to call is getNameByOffset. You give it an address, just any address in the address space, and then you the where you want the string to go to, how big it is, how big it was when it came out, you know, how much, you know, it was like 2K coming in and we used 153, for mm-hmm. example. And displacement is that, it's that plus thing. So you might have a symbol like, you know, foo bang bar plus a number, and this is what the displacement is. It's that number at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple call. The reason why I've got this commented out is, and I'm going to actually change the code now and throw this other one away, is there's a concept called sign extension. And so if you're in a 32-bit situation, if you want to ask, so when you talk to the debugger, you always use ulong64.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're on a 32-bit address space, everything you're doing is ulong-based, you know, 32 bits.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an address between 2 gig and 4 gig, so between 8 and 7 zeros.
80 million hex.
Yeah, whatever it is. And up to FFFFFFFFF.
Yeah.
4 billion minus 1.
Yeah.
If you're in that range, you can't actually give the debugger 00000 that number. What you need to do is you need to sign extend it. What that means is when it goes negative, which is that range from the 8 to the FFF,
mm-hmm.
the top bit is set. And if you're treating this as a signed number, that top bit would represent negativity.
Negative number.
And so when you increase the number of bits being used, what you're meant to do is get that top bit and copy it all the way up to the top, however many bits you're using. If you're using 48 bits like the CPU really does, then it would copy it up to 48. If it's a math one, all the way up to 64-bit. If you don't do that, you actually get this little warning text from the debugger saying, you did not assign extend your data, right? And it'll pop up every once in a while in your code. Now, I think we've silenced a lot of those over the debugger versions. I haven't seen it as much recently. But what you need to do is make sure those bits have been moved forward. So if you are under 2 gig, that top bit would be 0, and so you'd be padding zeros, which means you still end up with a number that represents between 0 and 2 gig.
Mm-hmm.
If you're above 2 gig up to 4 gig, you end up with a whole of Fs.
Right.
That means you, from zero, negative-wise, you are moving down through the address space. So, and then you end up with this massive 64-bit or 63-bit void in the middle, which you're not really touching.
Right.
So sign extend your work. So what does it take to do sign extension? What I'm doing is I'm passing in the offset and the debug client so we can do some math, and then whatever the output of sign extend is, that's actually what we're going to do our calculation on. How does this work? So we get the iDebug client. If it's in the range that it matters, in this 2 gig to 4 gig range, then it's a candidate for this. We get debug control from the debug client that we've got, and then we ask, is the target in a 64-bit address space?
Right.
Right. And what this function does is it returns an E something on failure, so an error H result. It returns SOK on 64-bit and S false on 32-bit. So if it's equal to 32-bit, okay, we're in a 32-bit address space, and the number passed in was between those two, then we make sure that we add the sign extension bits to it.
Stuff all left in the top half.
So if it was already sign extended when it came in, someone did the right thing, up here, this would not be true because the FFFs are there, and then it would just fall through and return. So it would be a high-speed, inlined piece of code. So one little if statement that would be very rapid. So no real overhead. So you only really take the overhead when you've poorly chosen the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Get used to doing sign extension. And that's a good reason why to have one of these util libraries, right? When you're writing these little wrappers for like get named by offset, it's nice to have things with the mem set. It's nice to have the sign extension just in the code.
So you don't have to worry about it every time.
Yeah. And so, that's really the point of this show particularly, is ignoring the fact that we're going to get a symbol name, is remember your address space and the rules that abides by it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's run this thing, see what it looks like. What should we resolve? EIP? Be a bit boring, or what should we do?
Sure. Well, you could look at what's on your stack, I guess. Or
so, we've got this. There's one. We'll do this one. So we go name by offset, give it the address, and there's the string that we get back out, and here's the displacement. It got drawn on the screen by just having some appropriate print logic. Here's the string that came in off the command line. Here's the value that we evaluated into the expression. And then here's the string that we got back from that buffer. And then the displacement number as well, which is a percentage X in this case. And so, as simple as that. You've gone from a number to a symbol. Equally, I mean, we can do, for example, we could use the sudo register for instruction pointer,
mm-hmm.
And that's the same as the first frame. If we change up a frame, we could use scope IP, and it will show the line that we're on. Example.
And this is really just calling into the same underlying architecture that the debugger uses internally to display the same thing.
What you do in a debugger extension is very close to what the fundamental commands do inside the WinDBG layer. I mean, WinDBG actually is a command interpreter taking input like this and actually running these commands underneath.
Mm-hmm.
The debugger extension is just going another way to the same source.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, simple episode today, not too complex. That's how you resolve a symbol. It can be anything. If you get something wrong, so that's, like, let's say we get an error code, like 8,000 FFF is critical, is catastrophic failure in, as an Atrium result.
Sure.
You're just going to get, you're going to be able to resolve it to a number as an expression, mm-hmm. but it won't resolve as a symbol, and you'll come back as a failed lookup.
It's not within any module or anything like that.
Yeah. If we chose a random module, and I say this address,
yeah,
and we did, you know, that plus, I don't know, 1,000.
You'll find some function in there.
Dead on, too.
Oh, wow.
The odds are there.
It just happened to be right.
Nice alignment, yeah.
Plus zero.
And there's a weird one.
They're all kind of aligned on those offsets.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Very cool.
You'll use this function a lot.
This is what debugging is all about, turning numbers into names so that they're human readable.
Yep. So, yeah.
Right on. All right, well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for watching. As always, if you have questions or comments, email them to defragtools@microsoft.com or put them in the show notes. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for watching.
Have a good week.
Bye.